And so I want to just take a couple of minutes to talk about three short verses from the Bible. They come from the book of John, chapter 12. And it's 30 years later, after the events that we're talking about tonight, the Nativity. And it says this: Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." What's Jesus's point? What is he saying? What's he getting at? If you get this, you get it all. If you miss this, you miss it all. These verses are just critical to understanding everything that we've talked and sung about tonight. What's his point? Well, whoever sees me, he says, sees the one who sent me. Jesus is saying, take a look at me and you see God. You see God. It says elsewhere that Jesus was quite clear. It was the Father who sent him to earth. He made it quite clear. And so many think that God is disinterested or he's distant. But if you look at Jesus, you get a totally different picture. Read the Gospels again as an adult. Some of you read them years ago when you were a child. Read them as an adult. Read them now. Look at Jesus and say, is that what God is like? Because that's what Jesus said. This is what God is like. He's a man full of peace, full of joy, full of compassion, a man who cared for the broken, the hurting, the sick, the dying. He modeled something of what God the Father was like. A friend of mine who's not a Christian said, "If God is so loving, why doesn't he do something about this planet? Why doesn't he do something about the pain and the suffering?" And I responded, he did. He came. He walked amongst us. He healed the sick. He demonstrated what he was doing. He came to rescue, to save. That's what his very name means. To save you and to save me from this place, from this planet, from this sickness, to give us a hope of eternal life. And if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. That's what he's like. A man once said, "I don't believe in God." To which his friend replied, "What kind of God don't you believe in? Describe him to me." And so the man described a being who was harsh and cruel and distant and disinterested. And when he had finished, his friend, a Christian, said, "I don't believe in that kind of God either." You see, if we misunderstand God, you will respond to him in the wrong way. There was a boy who was desperate for a new bike for his birthday. And so he prayed and prayed and prayed. And nothing happened. Got no new bike. But he wasn't worried because Christmas was just around the corner. And so as Christmas was approaching, he thought, "I'll pray again." But then he got a bit nervous. So he was walking around the house and he saw a statue of Mary. So he grabbed the statue, wrapped it in a tea towel and shoved it in a drawer. And he said, "Jesus, if you ever want to see your mum again, get me a bike for Christmas." You see, whatever you do or don't believe about God affects the way that you relate to him. It affects the way that you connect with him. It's critical what you do. And I would urge you, look at Jesus. Because compare whichever God you do or don't believe in to Jesus. Because he, the Bible says, is the exact representation of the Father. I was out in the town centre during the summer with a friend. And it's a long, convoluted story how this happened. But we got to pray for a young man who said he was a pagan. And he had three bones in his coccyx were fused together. It gave him some pain. And there was a number of things he couldn't do. And he said that our prayers wouldn't work for him because he didn't believe in God. The problem was God believed in him. And so we laid our hands on him and prayed for him. And he was totally healed there on the spot on the high street. And he did what he called a crab, which was to bend over backwards and walk around on his feet and his hands. And as he did so, walking around the square in the town, he was shouting out, "I couldn't do this before. I couldn't do this before." And I took one look at him and thought, my back's good and I don't think I could do that now. Anyway, the point is this. A crowd had formed because it was quite a dramatic event. This happened just in August. And a crowd of these teenagers had formed. And one young lad, his name was Rob, walked up to my friend and said, "Pray for me." And my friend, thinking he was sick, said, "What's wrong with you?" And this kid, Rob, said, "Nothing, just pray." And so my friend grabbed him by the hand and said, "Father, fill him with your love." At which point, this cool teenage lad, in front of his cool teenage friends, began to cry like a baby. And he said, "I am nothing. I am nobody. Why would God love me?" And as he stood there weeping with everyone watching, I thought to myself, that's some good theology right there. We are nothing. We're nobody. Why should God love us? But he does. But he does. Have you got it? You know, God has got a sense of humor. If you don't believe that, just look at the person next to you. I mean, just look around you. Long ones, short ones, bald ones, fat ones, tall ones. We're all different. And yet God loves us all. He loves us all. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only son. He loved us too much to leave us like this, separated from him. And going back to those few verses, Jesus said, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Now this is really interesting. You know, someone once said, what would have happened if the wise men were women? It's a profound question. Think about it. What would have happened if the wise men had been women? Well, firstly, they'd have asked for directions and arrived on time. They'd have helped with the birth. They'd have cleaned out the filthy stable. They'd have made sure there was food in the fridge. And they'd have bought decent presents. I mean, you know, a fleecy blanket and, you know, something for the manger. You know, gold Frankenstein and the other one. You know, they're just such man gifts, aren't they? But you know what? The wise men get a lot of stick. But they did one thing right. What was that? They saw a light and they followed it. They saw something out of the ordinary, something spiritual, and they dropped their agenda to follow it, to go after it. They realized that whatever they were doing, whatever they were about, was not as important as what they had just seen. That something life-defining had happened to them. You see, this is the big deal. Jesus is saying, "I came as light." He's not saying he wears a fluorescent jacket and is useful in a power cut. He's saying, "I came to give you light." Now, what does light do? Light illuminates. It shows us the world. And what does spiritual light do? Spiritual light shows us things of the Spirit. It shows us the things of God. And so Jesus said, "I came to reveal God to you." It enables us to see the things of God. And this is absolutely critical that we get this. Just imagine, you were talking to a chick that was not yet born. A chick in an egg. And you somehow dived into that egg. And you could talk to the chick and say, the world that you live in, this is not the only world. That this wall is just a thin shell. And if you just peck through it, you will feel the warmth of your mother and the beauty of the world around. This world that you're in is not the whole picture. And the chick might reply, "Cheep, cheep." Which translated means, "Who are you, you nutter? Get out of my egg." To which you would reply, "I know that you think that this world is the only world because it's the only world that you know, but I can tell you that there is another world. And all you need to do is start pecking. All you need to do is long to escape." What's my point? My point is this: we can be so caught up with this physical world that we forget the world of the Spirit. The bigger world. The world of God. And you know, our spirits live and grow inside these human bodies. Just a little less runny, but just like that chick in the egg. But one day our spirits will escape into another world. And the thing is, we can live our whole life never having cracked through the egg, never having moved into the realm of the spirit, never seeing the things of God. And so Jesus came to say, I came to give you spiritual light so that you could see God and encounter him and know him. He wants to reveal to us the things of God, the love of God, which we can't comprehend without him. He wants to change our sight to spiritual sight. And this is relevant for all of us. How do we get spiritual sight? How do we change from just physical sight to spiritual sight? Well, it's this. It applies to those who have been Christians for decades, to those who are just beginning a journey. How do you get spiritual sight? It's to admit that we're in darkness. You see, if you can admit that you're in darkness, then you can admit that you need light. And it humbles yourself to the point that you can say, Jesus, I want to know God like you know God. And that's the journey that I would urge you to begin this Christmas, to begin a whole new adventure of stepping into the world of God, the world of the Spirit.